If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
You've been listening to Tufnell's Retreat from Kyle Hollingsworth's latest solo EP, 2020. I've been a fan of keyboardist Kyle Hollingsworth of the String Cheese Incident for well over two decades, and he's always been on my list as someone I wanted to talk to with about not only his music, but also that of String Cheese. With a new EP out for about a month now, I decided it was a good time to catch up and learn more about his solo work while pruning some insights on String Cheese as well. I can tell you our conversation was very enlightening, and he was very engaging for longer than I had anticipated. Our conversation started when I asked about Tufnell's Retreat, the only instrumental track on the very short EP.
The name of the song is Tufnell's, which is based on Nigel Tufnell, who's from Spinal Tap.
Of course.
You know, so Nigel Tufnell is sitting down at the piano, and he's like, I'm a big, I think he's a guitar player, but he's playing piano. He's like, I'm huge classical fan. This is Mozart and what is it? What'd you say? Mozart and Bach. This is more of a mock piece, really. So I kind of went in with the concept. I didn't name it first, but I went with there with the idea that it's going to be a little bit over the top with lots of classical moments and kind of a nod to the prog rock organ era of like Emerson, Lake, and Palmer or maybe even some Yes in there, you know. So I brought it in because I wanted to write a new kind of Boo Boo's Picnic, which is kind of a bluegrass song, but I didn't want it to be so bluegrass. So I wrote the melody and I brought it into String Cheese actually originally, and they thought that was really cool. And then we developed like a 6/8 section, which is that whole middle section there.
Right.
And then we kind of ran out of time because we had our 25th anniversary and we didn't have time to record it. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a whole lot of interest because it was such a big song to bite off. So I said, well, that's cool. I'm going to take it to my solo band. And they were totally fine with it. So I brought it to them and we fleshed it all out. And I think it was, to answer your question more directly, it started as a classical / bluegrass thing. And then Travis brought in kind of the middle section. Then I wanted to do a pretend fugue moment. So I brought it in. So it's an amalgamation of all of our ideas. It's a real first sense where it's my solo band really collaborated with String Cheese and all our brains did nine things at once. And then finally we all cut it together.
Yeah. I mean, it is such a departure from anything we've heard. It's interesting that you brought it to String Cheese because it really is a departure from that band's sound. And so it's interesting that you were able to bring it to them and they didn't shoo you away right away, although apparently they did in the end. But
right. No, I could see String Cheese actually playing because Travis was all about it. So I got Travis on my side. So that's, what is that, 2 of 6. So I can maybe convince people slowly and then we get Kang next and then Jason will jump on. Billy and Keith will be the last two, but we'll see.
Is Billy usually the last guy to jump on stuff that the individual band members bring to the band?
No, not at all. No. And I think it was actually, he gets it because he listened to a lot of, you know, that music growing up too,
right?
Especially Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. But I think it varies on what the music is and who has a real, I don't know, it really either pisses them off to play it or they feel like they have to wade through the song. The other day we did Melt With You, I Run the World and Melt With You, and Billy's like, oh my god, I just can't even play this. This reminds me of like the worst days of high school, and which I can relate to. So all of us have the same thing about other people, like, oh, we really have to play this dubstep moment right now. But we're all our brothers, so you try to, you know, respect.
Yeah, it's probably
that's
probably a very eclectic mix of music and background that you all bring to the table when talking about String Cheese tunes, right?
Exactly. And I think that's on a lot of my solo CDs, you can see that I'm dabbling in lots of different styles. And this album probably would have made a little more sense if I'd written 6 more songs and kind of had touched on a little bit more of each of the styles. Mm-hmm. But this was kind of the jumping off point for all the things that could have happened.
The first track on the album, Live Forever, is probably the most obvious song that could fit anywhere, I think, because it is a, right away you get the feeling that although it is a pop song, it could easily fit within the realm of the jam band world, especially if you stretched it out in sections. Is that an accurate assessment of what's going on there?
Yeah, I think I was writing a summertime feel-good groovy tune. I've never written kind of a what I would call a white boy reggae song before.
Right,
and
right.
Like, you know, I was thinking like one of my songs, Can't Wait Another Day, has a calypso vibe. And this, although this isn't the same song, I was thinking in the same vibe of summertime dance, feel good vibe. And I think that would, yeah, that would translate into different genres for sure.
Vampire Weekend cover is Step. They're a band that gets a lot of play in the jam band world. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that they're not deadheads necessarily, but there are people in that band, particularly Ezra, who's very into Fish and the Grateful Dead, and he's probably into String Cheese as well. Did you talk to Ezra or anybody in Vampire Weekend before you covered that tune?
I did not. I saw him at Red Rocks, and I said hey to him backstage. They were very busy snowing at Red Rocks, believe it or not.
Wow.
So everybody was kind of in a hurried get out the door situation. But I've been a fan for at least a few albums, dating back to Contra, which I guess was probably 10 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Because I'm also, I like jam music, but I definitely stretch out and I listen to Vampire Weekend, or I grew up listening to Joy Division and things that are very different. So I love the production. I'm kind of a production geek, and some of those albums have incredible production. The one about the modern vampire in the city or something, I forget what it's called. I was like, put it on my headphones, and it just turned me on because it was like, whoa, that kick drum is different on the second verse than it is on the first verse. And that reverb trail goes really long, and the voice. And oh, what sound is that? It's almost like when I listen to Remain in Light, which is the Talking Heads.
Right.
And I was like, what am I listening to? Is that a guitar or something? And this is a little bit more obvious than that. But for me, it was sonically interesting. And then, of course, his lyrics are just amazing and voice too. So, yes, I did not personally speak to him. I think it got to him eventually, though, that song. But
he is an amazing songwriter. I mean, that's the bottom line with Ezra, right? I mean, that's why people love his records, because he is such a great songwriter.
Yeah. Some of his lyrics on Step, I don't have it right in front of me. I was about to play it. But there's just a few lines here and there. I'm just blown away. I'm like, did that come from some classic, the Iliad? Is that from Homer? No, that just came from his brain. Oh, wow.
Right.
Is it, you trade deep for, you know what I'm talking about? I'll think of it before the end of it, but go ahead.
There's all kinds of things. Like, just the way the song opens, I used to front like I was Don Juan. I mean, the imagery is just
right.
Great, right? I mean, he's got it. He's figured it out. Which is
exactly,
I'm sure you can relate to, right? As a songwriter, you appreciate other great songwriters who are able to put lyrics to paper. Do you spend a lot of time outside of String Cheese writing music for yourself, or is it at a point now where everything you write sort of goes to the guys and it's tested in a similar way to Tufnels, but is it tested with the band first, or do you say, no, these are going to be songs that I'm just going to use for a solo project, and then if the band is into it, then we eventually make it into, you know, a String Cheese song, or break it out as a String Cheese show? Like Live Forever, is that something that you take
right
to the band beforehand, or you wait till after you record it?
I'll definitely bring that to the band. I think it's a good question, because in the past, the first couple albums, I was just making songs that were coming to me. And most recently, there was a song called The Big Reveal, which I was a String Cheese, very specific song. Like I knew I wanted to take it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so certain songs in my catalog are set aside for Cheese, for sure. It depends how much we're playing and how much time we have to work up. String Cheese has time to work up new material. But everything, especially after a break, we've been taking 6 months off, And so it's the perfect time to do some writing. I'm sure everybody's going to bring in new material. So you kind of have to weigh, because you want to respect everybody, Keith can have a new one, let's work that one up, let's work the Billy new one up. And so everybody kind of gets their one song or so to bring in that we can only learn. So I do. I said I had some stuff to tease for sure.
Just to divert for 1 second, Believe is the last String Cheese record. So can fans anticipate a new record probably when this hiatus and all this other nonsense around us subsides?
I really hope so. I love the process of making a full album, and I love the process of getting one collection of songs that may or may not have a story, but at least they're together in one package. Cheese is on the fence about, you know, we've been releasing a whole lot of material over the last year. We released like 9 singles or something, which could have been an album, in my opinion.
Right.
But people are now kind of in our world are saying it maybe makes more sense to kind of release singles. But I imagine for sure we'll be releasing new music no matter what in the next 6 to 8 months.
It's also to the point now where with that project, because of your relationship with Nugs.net, everything gets released anyway. And so, or most things get released. So even if it doesn't appear necessarily on an album, it will make its way into a show and then people will be able to love it or hate it that way. Well, I shouldn't say hate. That's a strong word. Love it or not enjoy it as much as other String Cheese songs, right?
There you go. Well said.
Lyle Davinsky, is he a Boulder guy or a Denver guy? I think he's a Denver guy, right? But this
he was up until like 2 weeks ago. But yes, he's in the Motet and he lived in Denver. Yes, for a long time.
And so, was the inspiration to write a soulful R&B tune without Lyle, or did you have Lyle in mind right away? I mean, his voice is so distinct at this point that.
Yeah.
Did you have him in mind when you did got it figured out?
I kind of did. I had written it, and this is fully KHB co-write, and I said, I can sing this, but I just don't know, A, if I had the lyrics together. So actually, Anders Osborne helped me flesh out the lyrics on this tune.
Oh, wow.
And I shelved it. It was actually supposed to be on my last album, 50. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, let me bring it back out and dust it off. And I kind of played it for Lyle, and he said, you should totally sing it, but I have great ideas for backgrounds. Why don't you get a pretty good rough main vocal, and then I'll just flesh it out. And it made such a difference. Like, without him, I don't think it would have flown at all, actually. So it was kind of like almost like a Steely Danny kind of. I was thinking of, what is it, Michael McDonald on Peg.
Yeah.
And I'm back to you, Peg. That's kind of where he kind of went with it a little bit.
It is so diverse, the musical stylings. I'm curious about how you write these songs. Do you write at a piano? Do you write at like a keyboard? Or do you just sit down in front of Pro Tools or GarageBand and just bang something out sort of on the computer?
I use my iPhone.
Really?
My little iPhone app where you can sing into like a little microphone.
Yeah.
And have tons and tons and tons of ideas. And every 6 months I'll go through and peel them away and work on it. And then I'll bring it. I'll go into the lab with KHB and we'll just play. And it's like, is this working? No, that doesn't work. All right, how about this idea? And then we'll all kind of just create it from there. And then I'll just take the raw elements and go home and cut it up in little pieces.
The growth of String Cheese probably relates directly in terms of sonic landscape, probably relates directly to what's going on in the world around you. And this is a band that has grown tremendously in terms of sound and in terms of the types of songs that you're creating. And I would imagine individually you guys are growing as well. Do you ever get to a point where there's just too much music? There's too much stuff to know about and your head is filled with too many ideas that you just have to take a break for weeks on end, or is just music part of your daily routine at this point?
You mean String Cheese as a whole?
Yeah, String Cheese as a whole, but even individually. I mean, there's so much you have to learn for String Cheese. There's so much music over the 25-year career. And then individually as well. I mean, there's just a lot to know. And then writing new stuff. I mean, your head must be full of hooks, melodies, lyrics, all kinds of stuff, always.
Right. That would be the goal. I think it comes and goes. I love it when it's flowing freely. And sometimes it doesn't come as freely as far as being creative. There's always, which is nice, because once you are not being creative, like I'm done, the album's out. Now you can tell them when the album's done. My studio is totally clean. Mm-hmm. When the album's in the middle of being written, there's like cables and I'm going to plug this in here and try this. But that creative part of it is done. And now I'm just ready to like either dive in. I'm starting to take classical piano now and I'm trying to do something else that is still music related, but is not in the creative area. So as it relates to string cheese, I think when one of us is in writing, it's a really good way to support the other person, to help them be creative, help them write. But also there's so much to learn. Like we'll do rhythm exercises where we sit there for 45 minutes and Jason will talk us through like how to keep in time more clearly, how to state your intention on timing, and then we'll do a creative pass it around jam practice. And so we're always trying to make sure we're growing in some way. It may not be in the writing area, but you're right. I mean, like there's probably, I have no idea, someone out there knows 400 songs or something.
Right.
And then like some of them just get lost, and then we get to a point where we're doing 5 shows in a row and like, what was that song you wrote on the second album? And how's it go again? You know, we tried to get up Latinismo the other day from Outside Inside, and we're all like, who wrote this? Why? Like, I read it, but like, what were we thinking when we wrote this together? And it's so complicated when it doesn't need to be that complicated. It is challenging.
What's your favorite of all the keyboards and obviously piano that you play? Is there a favorite sound? You know, I talk to keyboard players fairly regularly, whether it's Marco Benevento or Adam McDougall, we just had on the show, talking about the new Circles record, and they each have their own favorite instrument, whether it's, you know, just playing piano or playing Fender or clav.
Right.
Is there a favorite for you amongst all of
them? Was Adam the Moog? I'm guessing.
Adam thinks that he, you know, at this point, clav is probably the instrument he's most comfortable with. But nice. The new record has a lot of Rhodes. I don't know if you've heard it yet, but it's amazing.
I haven't. I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's really great. And, you know, it's Neil's last kind of work.
Right.
But I think, you know, in total, and I certainly don't want to put words in Adam's mouth, but he really feels comfortable with clav. I mean, he said that it's what he's been playing the longest. And then we talked about Rhodes for a bit because I have an affinity for the Rhodes. It's just one of those sounds that I love. And he talked about how cheaply he bought his first Rhodes because people were trying to get rid of them. I guess.
Yeah, they're so heavy and ridiculous. And people were like, get rid of this. I can get a plastic keyboard much cheaper, much lighter.
Right. I guess when the first, the first Roland came out or something, that people were just getting rid of the Rhodes, which is a shame. But I'm curious from your take, because you do carry a lot of gear with you on stage, and I can only imagine what the lab must feel like.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of stuff there. The instrument I think that has the most most soul and the really beautiful voice is the organ.
Right.
And even though I may not be the best at playing organ, I gravitate towards it because it has so many layers. Like really quiet and or really growly or put some reverb on it. It's almost like glass. So for me, the organ is the most beautiful instrument to play. Most comfortable instrument probably through the piano or Rhodes or something. It's a tough thing. The clavinet's up there, but probably not my go-to. I say more piano. I studied more piano than anything else.
And when you say you're studying class, this is interesting to me because I appreciate that people are always trying to get better at their craft. When you're studying classical music now, are there things that you can pick up on right away because you do have obviously 25 years in this band playing piano or keyboards. Are there things that come intuitively to you because you are so well versed in the instrument at this point?
Funny you should say that. Yes, yesterday I was doing like a Hannon, I think this is the person, exercises, and I remember playing this particular piece when I was in college, and it being very difficult. It was just a warm up exercise, but I'm like, man, I could never even pull it off. And then after about 20 minutes, I was like 70% there. I was like, wow, maybe I've grown, or my fingers are more used to patterns than they used to be. I don't know. It is strange to go back, and then I go back to like a Bach piece, and my sight reading is ridiculously doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. if you don't read, you just kind of lose that. So, and that's a challenge in a good way. Everybody's kind of on lockdown, right? So you got to think of something to do. I got some baby chicks for my daughters, baby chickens. So we've been raising chickens out here too. So yeah, anything takes.
What are the plans? I mean, it's probably way up in the air right now, but this hiatus is going to last a lot longer than you had initially anticipated. You toured 2020 a bit until that was cut short, obviously.
No, we didn't. We stopped. We stopped. So we did our 25th anniversary was last year. So we worked ridiculously hard.
Yes.
Up until Thanksgiving, we play here in Denver. Uh-huh. Then we took off December 1st to June 1st.
Right.
So that was already planned before any of this happened. So we had saved up a little bit of money, which was good. And so we didn't have any touring this year at all yet. Our first gigs are going to be Electric Forest, I believe, or Hog Farm. So, yes, we hadn't toured yet. But it was this weirdly perfect timing for us to take 6 months off. But you're right. Who knows? I mean, we're hoping that it'll be over by June, but that could push us back a little bit.
So are you, besides practicing or learning classical and raising chicks, are you writing as well at the same time? Is everybody writing, or is it sort of a break?
No, I'm definitely writing. I'm also kind of started my own little series, classic cuts, I'm calling it. And I'm just kind of doing my take on some old string cheese tunes, mainly my own. And I'm doing like bunch of those a week. So I'm keeping busy with like a little online thing for fans. And I'm definitely doing some writing. Like I said, I'm just fresh off getting the CD done. So I like to clean the studio for at least a week before I start messing it up again. Right. Yeah. And we'll come back together and we start rehearsing no matter what, whether we're playing or not in June. So I plan to have some new material and maybe some material from my new CD.
Cool. Thank you so much for taking the time and spending some time with us talking about 2020, the record, not the year. Gosh. And String Cheese as a whole. We've been a fan of the band for a very long time. I don't want to date myself. And I don't have grandkids, so you don't have to worry about any of them coming up to you and saying that their grandfather, at least that I know about yet. Geez, that would be weird. But thanks for taking the time, dude. We really appreciate it. And we appreciate the fact that you take chances and you do things outside of the typical bubble where people think you live. So thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much.
While our conversation did bounce around quite a bit, I thought Kyle was full of energy and extremely accessible. He's been very active of late on social media, talking about his songs for String Cheese and much more. So you definitely should follow him or check out his website at kylehollingsworth.com. Before we leave you, have a listen to another track off of 2020. Here is Live Forever.
First buzz of the day, when everything else just melts away. It was easy, easy like Friday evening. She was as tall as the trees that touched the sky, but all I could see was a green of her eyes. Wait, what? Was she talking to me? She and me became the talk of the town, and then everybody watched when we came around her. it was understood, it was feeling good. She said, listen to me, I got something to say. I knew I had to stay, couldn't walk away. She gotten under my skin. She said, maybe everything that glitters is gold, and all the best stories haven't all been told. But I know you can believe in me. Summer heat, we roamed the nights playing in the streets. Down by the water, that's where I'd find her. With a crooked smile and a hair of red, I was under her spell and stuck in her web. Like Ducky to his Andy, she was playing with me like a cat with a toy. And I'd be lying if I said that I didn't enjoy every second. I came back for more. Time slipped away and we filled the days. We knew we had a good, but good couldn't stay. And that's the way it went, that's the way it goes. So seasons change like they always do. Feelings wane, we were almost through. She said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Let's live it now like it's all we got. We were gonna live forever.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.